Okay, so hi everyone, my name is Anthony Gonzalez and my musical project is called M83.
Now we know what it is because we always say, is it a band, is it a collective, is it a project? People always...
I don't know how to call it. It's more like, yeah, I think it's more like a project for me because I mean, I compose music alone, but in the meantime, I like to share things with other artists. So, I mean, I've got vocalists on my records, so plenty of musicians as well. So it's more like a collective, but yeah.
The album really is beautiful and filled with all sorts of wonderful things. So why don't you hit me with a little bit, the short version of kind of the history of how you got to today, because I know, and we'll talk about this, you know, the sound and everything, but just a little bit about how you got into music in the first place.
I started to learn guitar when I was 10. After that, I had a crush on electronic German music from the 70s. So when I was 13 or 14, so I started to buy keyboards and to play electronic music. And I did like a couple of demos when I was like 70s and yeah, around 70s and 17 and 18. And I just sent a few demos over to Paris just to find a contract with a label. And so I did it. And that's the story of M83. I started to make my first record in 2000. And after that, I did this. I had a deal with Mute for the other records. So that's the story of M83.
Now, if I do my math right, that means you made your first recording in 2000. So you were 18 or 19.
I was 20.
Yeah, and as some of the articles have said, you know, you're not that far away from your teenage years, and you've said that this album is a tribute to your teenage years, which for you was obviously a really good time. So tell me a couple of the highlights of your teenage years that kind of led to what we're about to talk about today.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this album is definitely a tribute to my teenage years, and because I think I just wanted to do that because it's certainly one of my best period of my life so far, and I really had so much fun when I was a teenager, and I really have the feeling that when you are a teenager, you really start to discover new things in life, and it's like very interesting, sometimes a bit scary, but also very exciting. And yeah, I remember when I was 13 or 14, I really started to experience new things, and that's what I really love about being a teenager. It's that you always discover new things, and it's like a new open window on the world, and it's like very it could be very amazing sometimes. And I discovered a lot of new bands at the time, a lot of great movies. I met new great friends. We had a lot of fun together. I mean, I had my first drugs experience, also my first sex experience. So that's a lot for a young kid, you know. And it could be tough, but for me it was just the perfect period of a lifetime.
And this is an album not only dedicated to your teenagers, but dedicated to Saturday night. And the Bay City Rollers have celebrated Saturday night. Of course, Elton John said Saturday night's all right for fighting. And this album kind of exudes the same kind of energy to celebrate, you know, one night, because youth equals Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. That's the name of the record. And I think that being a teenager is just about having fun, actually. And also, what I like when you are a teenager is like you feel like you are unbeatable, and you are the master of the world. I mean, nothing can happen to you, and that's what I really like about it. What is sad, I think, is when you grow up, you start to losing confidence, and I think that it's a bit sad to grow up and to become an adult. So I'd like to I'd like to be a teenager again, but unfortunately that's not possible.
And this album for you is a major departure in terms of sound, and you truly did have that decade of the 80s in mind here, almost a soundtrack to the decade, did you not?
Music from the 80s is a big influence for me for this record, and I think that the 80s music is certainly one of the most important periods for the music industry. It's a wonderful period of music with a lot of great bands, a lot of great tunes, and so this album is like a bit of a tribute to this years as well.
I read the story, and again, everybody else can, but it's more fun to hear you talk about your discovery of the female voice on the record, Morgan Kibbe, who you learned about through your friend who was a film director, but then you found her through the world of modern technology, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I first heard Morgan's voice on a MySpace page, and I was really looking for this kind of 80s voice, you know, and when I first heard Morgan, I really had a crush on her voice, because she's got this Kate Bush style in her voice I really, really love. So when I first heard is her voice, I mean, I just called her and say, okay, please come and sing with me.
No song sounds the same, and that is truly intentional on your part, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, all my records since the beginning of my career, I mean, they've got a real unity in it, and this one, I'll say that there is an unity, but also there is like different kind of atmosphere in it, and all the songs are different, and I really did it on purpose. And what I really want to do is what I really wanted to do is to do like a travel, a time travel through the 80s music, and so to try to do a tribute to all the kind of music from the 80s. So it's sometimes it could be very electronic, sometimes it could be like a classic pop song, and with a lot of chorus and reverb. So it's a very eclectic album, and that's what I really like about it. It's like all the songs are different, and so yeah, I mean, it was all fun for me to work on it. Yeah.
So tell me about your choice of these two producers and how they affected the sound, because they both do very different things.
The idea of the record was to bring two different producers with two really different sounds. So I really love Ewan Pearson's stuff. I mean, he's like a young producer, mainly on electronic music. I mean, he's got like a really modern sound I really love. And so I really choose to work with him because he's like a great, great composer of electronic music, and he's like a really great producer. I mean, and on the other end, we've got like Ken Thomas, who is like a very experienced producer. I mean, he's got like 40 years of sound production, so he's like he's like a monument for me. And he worked a lot on the music from the 80s, and he worked a lot with bands I really, really love, like Cocteau Twins and Depeche Mode. And so it was really exciting for me to work with Ken Thomas. I mean, he's a very clever guy. I mean, he's got a lot of stories to tell about music, and he gave me a lot of great musical advices. I mean, it was really, really great to work with him. And he's a really kind guy, so he's really aware of what the artists want to do with his music. So that's really important, because I really had my say to do the record. So it was a really, really great experience to do this record with this two producers, and the combination of these two producers, because they've got a different sound, it gives to the album something really interesting and really unique, I think, and I hope.
You couldn't have picked a more appropriate place than Rockfield Studios, home of so many legendary records. And since this was a pretty electronic album, did you take advantage of the legendary reverb on at least the vocals? Because it's got the ultimate reverb room from Dave Edmunds and all those guys in the day, right?
Oh yeah, we used that reverb like on a lot of songs on the record. I mean, this record is also about FX. I mean, I'm a huge fan of FX, and I think that's a part of my music actually. Because yeah, if I can't use any reverb or any choruses, I mean, I feel lost. You know, it's like
you love the wall of sound.
Oh yes, that's my stuff. I mean, since the beginning, I really love to layer tracks and tracks over and over to have finally a big wall of sound. This is what I like to do, and working on FX, this is a really really exciting part of the job.
But Saturday Equals Youth is truly designed to be an album. I don't think that, except for Graveyard Girl, which is just a shade under, every other track is over 5 minutes, and yet there are definitive singles. So do you think that the world of MySpace has made radio pay attention to the fact that artists aren't always going to be making 3-minute singles just for them?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's sometimes sad to hear that just bands are just working on singles because the label told us to work on the single, you know? I mean, if one day my label asked me to do a single of 3 minutes just to go on radio, I'll just tell them that go for yourself, I don't want to do it. I mean, I just want to do my music, and if it's a long track, that's a long track. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's important to keep freedom with your music. I think that's the most important thing. You have to feel free to do whatever you want to do. I mean, you're the artist, and the label they have no say on this.
Especially since a majority of them are disappearing at this moment in time, I guess. I guess that the artist is willing out, because in the end now, when they cut a deal with an artist and they say, okay, this is who's going to shoot your cover, this is who's going to produce your album, we need 3 singles over the next quarter for radio airplay. And even radio is turning around to record companies and saying, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I know, I understand. But I mean, I really need to feel having the control on my music. That's the reason why I always choose a cover. I always choose the people I want to work with. I mean, I think it's important for me to feel I'm the boss of it, and that this is my project. This is like my baby. I mean, I'm telling so much things in my records that it's important to me to feel confident with it, and. But that's okay, because, I mean, my label is Mute, you know, and EMI, and Mute is such an amazing label, and I'm so proud to be on this label. I mean, it's so...
Yeah, really, a lot of your idols, in fact, Yaz is, you know, Yazoo is about to tour again. Alison Moyet, in fact, we're going to try to have them on the show. They're touring again, and actually, you know, I've had Erasure on the show a couple of times. And Vince Clark says, you know, he said, someone asked him, Mojo Magazine asked him what he was doing. I was reading it last night. What are you doing these days? He said, I'm listening to our first, actually it was Allison, who said, we're listening to our first 2 albums because we have to learn them again. So we haven't played them since 1983. The video for Graveyard Girl brings the cover of the record, the Molly Ringwald, like red-haired girl who, as I was watching it last night, I just said, okay, I'm just going to ask you to introduce me to her and I'll live with her for the rest of my life and we'll get it over with. But where did you find her, and how did you visualize that whole scenario between the record cover, which then you did bring to life on the Graveyard Girl video?
The idea for me when I'm making a record is to have like a unique object from the music and to the cover. I think it's a wall thing. That's just one and single object, and it's really important to have the same atmosphere in both of them. And So it's, I think that the cover is as important as the music, actually. And it's the same for the music videos. So the idea was to give like '80s flavor on the videos and on the cover as well, to have something like very influenced by the John Hughes vibes. And so yeah, because I'm a huge fan of Molly Ringwald, I just wanted to find another Molly Ringwald.
So we do this thing called a musical sandwich. So two of your songs is the bread, and then a bunch of other stuff in between. You